I am super excited to announce that we now have a formal partnership with The Prospect Wizard. And when I say wizard, I mean wizard. Obviously, you have a website. This allows you to convert your website traffic visitors directly into leads. It's not just another chatbot, and it's not AI, but it allows a visitor to call, text, or leave a voicemail, immediately goes to you, your sales team, or anyone else in the club instantly. MIT shows a study that if you contact a lead within 10 minutes, chance of them converting goes up 9 times that of the average. We got the Atlanta clubs on it, Vita Fitness, Gold's Gym, Mountainside, City Fitness Philly, College Park. Become one of the next Halo companies to deploy the wizard. It's easy to use. Go to theprospectwizard.com. Get a free 30-day trial. Talk to my boy, Dave Gallen. He will get you all set up and let the leads flow based on the wizard. Go get them.
This is Pete Moore on Halo Talks NYC. I am on location, Houston, college football, getting people active. We are talking with Delane Fowler. Outside of Charlotte, we're going to talk about employee engagement. We are going to talk about healthcare on the ground, and we're going to boost productivity. And all that's going to happen in 2024. So, Delane, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So we connected via LinkedIn, which I think is a great place to network. And I highly encourage people to continue to message folks on there because it definitely resonates and we're very active there. So that's how Delane and I originally got connected. So talk about Accelerate PT. Talk about, you know, how you saw this path of, you know, corporate wellness and productivity. Employee engagement is not just some nice terms to use, but there's actually results behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a young therapist, physical therapist 20 years ago, I was in my office and noticed a lot of my work comp patients coming from the same companies, working on the same industrial lines, having the same injuries. And after 6 months of diving into that kind of practice, I said, why, you know, it seems like all these people have the same issues. So I was really curious and started calling the companies and asking them if I could go on tours of their plant. And when I started doing that, I realized that there was potential to make an impact on people before they ended up in my office, before they ended up in the doctor's office. And so one story that really resonated with me in that time, and one thing that I did, I went out to this company. And I probably had a clipboard or something, which was really scary at the time for employees. So this lady said, hey, what are you doing here? And I told her, and she's like, oh, she said, well, I moved from that line to this line over here a few months ago. And my wrist has hurt ever since. And I said, okay. I said, well, let me watch you work. And if I can help you, I will. So I watched her work for a little bit and realized she was making a really funny, awkward hand motion to push a button every few seconds. So I called the maintenance guy over and asked him, can we move this button? And he looked at me and said, well, maybe, probably. I said, okay. And I left because I had toured the plant. And well, a month or so later, 6 weeks later, the company called me back and wanted me to look at another job. And I was like, oh, okay. Huh. So I came back and that same lady almost tackled me. She was so happy. Because once they moved the button, her wrist pain went away. And she said, and you know what? All my other friends on this line don't have that wrist pain either.
Wow.
So we started connecting with more and more companies and saying, hey, we think we can stop this stuff before it starts. And we, at that time, I was just thinking really surface level of stopping the physical issue before it went got going. But what I realized and what I've realized over the course of 20 years is that little bit of wrist pain that they're getting from a work activity, there's a lot of fear there because these people use their bodies for their livelihood. They're industrial athletes. And when their body, just like those football players you watched last night, we watched Johnson, right? Johnson had that ankle injury early in the game. I think that was his name.
Yep.
And you could see how frustrated he was. You know, because he couldn't perform and do his job. Same thing with that person. You know, their livelihood is at stake in that moment. And so there's a lot of fear built around that. And for us to come in as providers, as knowledgeable providers, people who understand the body, and we're able to connect with them and relieve their issues, then that's where we have a huge impact of preventing injuries. And so it reduces issues. It reduces, you know, the amount of paperwork employers are doing. It keeps employees happy and engaged and appreciative of getting some frontline healthcare, at least in that musculoskeletal world that physical therapists and athletic trainers live in. And so we think we're doing a lot of good for a lot of people, including companies. We want companies who are giving people jobs to be strong and caring, and we help provide that.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard the term industrial athletes, but I'll be starting to use it. So thank you for that. We wrote a book called Time to Win Again, which is basically, we'll send you a copy, but basically trying to run your company like a sports team. And one of the chapters is, you know, stay off the injured reserve list. You know, just like your employees need to stay off the injured reserve list, just like athletes do. And that's an integral way for winning. From a standpoint of, and my dad used to run a manufacturing facility. So, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. I also, every time I go, even like waiting in line yesterday to, well, there was nothing healthy I was buying. I was buying some chicken tenders and a water. But the woman that was taking my order, there was no one thinking about what her physical activity was going to be in order to, like, she had to bend down and pick up the water here. Obviously, the refrigerator could have been, you know, directly related to where her hand was, right? She could have gone from here to there instead of having to bend down, open the refrigerator door, go down. You know, she's definitely not fully, you know, she wasn't an athlete, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, your typical athlete, let's just say that. And there was all these different movements that were going on, which were not ergonomically friendly, or there's definitely, she was stretching way too far, you know, at her age. And then she went back to take medication and left the cash register open for 6 minutes, which is crazy. Anyway, how much of it is being done up front now? When you go in and you see, you know, a factory plant, or you see something, you're like, wow, I can't believe this is still going on. And all I can do, you know, I can fix these things. And then how do you get paid for that, you know, from a preventative standpoint, and have somebody say, look, this is how the engineers designed it. I get that you want to be, you know, employee friendly, but run a manufacturing plant here. So have we crossed the chasm for people to welcome you in, or is it like, hey, like, don't move too many buttons, Delaine?
Yeah. So, and line design is something of a magical place that we can get to live in from time to time as physical therapists. So if we get the opportunity, some of our manufacturing clients, you know, since we're already there, will bring us in with the engineering team to talk about the people. But people come in all shapes and sizes, right? So you might design a line as ergonomically friendly as possible for the majority of people, but you're going to have that 6'5" guy or gal, or you're going to have that really short person who needs adaptive equipment or some sort of accommodation. And what we try to do is instill that framework of industrial athlete to them and then train them on the line itself. And then taking it a step further, that way it removes it from us, is then we do job descriptions based on how the movement should be performed. So when a trainer, when one of the, you know, the managers or trainers of that line is training the employees, they're delivering these really tangible items, even if they're not that professional person. You know, I talk a lot about lifting potato bags. If you go to lift a potato bag overhanded and you're grabbing it all day long, you're grabbing this 20, 30 pound bag all day long, your elbows are going to hurt. But if you turn your palms up and hold it like a bread basket, then you're going to not have any elbow issues, wrist issues at all from that movement. So when we put it in terms that people can understand and make them realize, like, oh, the way I work does affect how I feel physically. And if you're in pain, you're being mentally drained. So once somebody is out of pain from something, they really have a lot of buy-in. So, you know, people bring us in sometimes just on a, hey, we want these job site assessments. We want these physical demand analysis. Sometimes they say, we want you in-house with our employees, treating them like industrial athletes, being their athletic trainers, to prevent injuries and then coaching them. So we're caring for them and coaching them into good work habits and hopefully building, you know, it's amazing. Because of the lack of activity we've had in education over the last 30 years, right? We've taken physical activity and PE and even those American standards we used to have for physical activity, like that's all gone out the window. And we don't have time for it anymore, supposedly, because we're teaching these kids just how to use just their brain. And with that, you now have two generations of people who have no idea how to squat, no idea how to lunge, no idea how to lift overhead. And they think all those things are supposed to be for athletes. But in essence, it's for everyone. So I think getting us back to movement is good. You learning how to move your body is really good. And let's just do it over and over and over again and train for the game.
This is Pete Moore. I want to let you in on a little secret. There's this company called Promotion Vault. And what they do is they give out rewards from retailers that allow you to incentivize your members without having to do zero down and 1 month free, or giving away shakes, or giving away t-shirts. What you want to do is build a rewards program that lasts, that people value, and that doesn't discount your own products and services. So here's the deal. There's something called Rewards Vault. The Rewards Vault is going to allow a member to set up their own profile. They are going to answer questions. You are going to get those answers. You're going to be able to target those members, and you're going to reward them inside your club, inside your spa, and outside of the club and outside of the spa to get them to become loyal, to get them to pay their monthly dues, and to be rewarded properly for the actions. A lot of companies are cutting back on rewards. You shouldn't be. Promotion Vault's your answer. Trust me, this is real.
So you referenced that, you know, one company, you saved over $1 million, because I think the financial side of this, kind of just like, you know, any kind of corporate wellness program, you know, at some point companies go into, go into a little bit of recession, or like, you know, they tighten up and, you know, they're tightening up and saying, oh, I don't know exactly how much money we're making or saving with our corporate wellness. So it's kind of like tighten the budget on that, which is probably the last thing you should tighten the budget on. You know, marketing should never let go of and employee, physical activity and engagement and their health, like you're talking about. So you said you saved the company $1 million. Talk about that and talk about how that could be replicated for others.
Sure. And I agree, because the term wellness is such a kitsch term and it's been thrown out so much that now we call whatever benefit that you get from the insurance company for your company, whether it's EAP or whatever, we call that wellness, which it is. I'm not saying it's not.
Well, let me stop you for 1 second, because we retired the word wellness 7 years ago. Actually, I had a cake at a retirement party because I don't like it. Came right from an antonym of illness. So if you're not sick, you're okay. And the right guy at the Mayo Clinic. So we came up with Halo Health, Active Lifestyle, Outdoors, create the Halo effect, create Halo athletes. So now continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. And I'm glad we agree on the fact that wellness is such a whatever term that nobody should use. So for us, we look at ourselves as frontline healthcare providers. So with that, when you save an OSHA recordable injury, the average OSHA recordable injury in 2022, according to BLS, is 2021 release data, is $43,000.
Oh my gosh.
That's the average, right? So some of them, yes. Will some of them cost a couple thousand, and will some of them cost $1 million? Of course, yes. One back injury might cost $2,000. One might cost $100,000. A rotator cuff repair costs $90,000. So, but what we do is, as we come in, we start measuring OSHA data. We start measuring what the sentiment is from how many people are coming to us every day, and measuring that based on not just that, but if the company, you know, we've built trust with a lot of our companies over the last 20 years. And for them, some of them are very, they trust us enough to give us some of their back-end data from their insurance company as of this is how much we saved. So from that $1 million example, that was from the company itself going to their insurer and saying, what was it last year and what was it this year? Because they need to negotiate rates, right? So we literally have larger companies change their work comp carrier because they're like, no, look, we reduced our claims. We reduced the cost of claim. We reduced the lost time to work. So we're measuring lost time to work, cost of claims, all of those things with our clients to demonstrate that this is a ROI situation for your company. And you're providing healthcare, right? You're providing that frontline healthcare as far as first aid goes to your employees. You're providing coaching for their job. So we feel like we do a lot of really good things because healthcare is hard to access now, right? Everyone's deductibles are going through the roof. You can't find a doctor because there's not enough of them. You can't find a therapist. There's not enough of them. So to be that person on site, we think it actually is. It's been going on for a long time with certain companies, but we really do think it's a wave of the future. We have lots of clients jumping on board and showing interest in what we do specifically. So, yeah, so I agree with you, like a general wellness program where you're like, yeah, we have a massage therapist come in once a month and we have a nutritionist stop by every once in a while to talk to us and all that. That's different. This is actually first aid care and coaching for jobs. So that's what makes a difference. And that's how we really measured it through OSHA recordables and then going to the insurers and saying, let's look at cost per claim. Let's look at, you know, reductions in those things.
Gotcha. Yeah, what part of the, I know it's probably going to be an eye-opening comment that you're going to about to make, but you know, what part of like the physical therapists that are out there or people that benefit from these injuries, and all these like ambulance chasers and workers' comp, you know, billboards that I see on every highway. What percentage of the people think like you?
You know, I think a lot of providers go to school with that glorified idea that sitting in my box and doing good work in my box is going to, you know, get my reputation out there. And it certainly can. But when you see a need and you see a desire from people to have help and people who are asking questions, especially with corporations, if they're asking healthcare providers and saying, hey, please come to our plant, please come show us this. I think we're fairly rare. Yeah. As a group. Certainly, I don't know if I've had any physical therapist, new grad, come to me and be like, I want to do industrial wellness. They all, you know, they all want to do Olympic athletes and NFL players.
Right.
At least what they think of physical, in the outpatient physical therapy world. Some of them love older people too, right? And they're like, I love being with older people and helping them through their processes. So for me, it's working people. I'm a working person. I come from a family of working people. And so it's been really my gift to go to companies and talk and to help people right where they work every day. So it's a gift.
Yeah. There's a couple of light bulbs going off in my head that, you know, because we've got a lot of entrepreneurs on the show here and people are trying to figure out like, what's a sustainable business model? You know, my business, my day job business, we help people buy and sell companies. And it's very transaction based. And once you finish an assignment, you move on to the next one. There's nothing recurring about it. There've been companies that have tested, you know, in the energy space, like, hey, I'm going to save you a certain amount of money on your utility costs. And I'm going to split the savings with you, you know, 50-50. And that's kind of their business model. From a standpoint of where your business model could potentially go, do you think that there's maybe think of yourself as almost like a virtual health club chain?
Certainly. You know, I think that we do have a virtual first aid model that we've been trialing for the last few months. And the biggest driver of that will be, where are you in your management structure? Who in your organization is being the champion of that so that we can provide that care? Because certainly, you know, I hire lots of athletic trainers. I hire lots of physical therapists. It's a big part of my work is to make sure we're always recruiting and the best people and people who care. So when we do that, we now have a virtual model where our therapists and our physical therapists and athletic trainers can care for a lot of people, but they have to know that person online is going to be there for them. So one of the beauty about us being physically on site is that they get to know us and build a relationship with us. So yeah, I think that virtual model is good, but out of sight, out of mind, a lot of times too. So I think that's the biggest challenge with that model is who's the driver and who's putting those people on the athletic trainer schedule so that they can chat with them to help them, you know. And obviously there's no hands-on kind of care in that model.
This is Pete Moore. Here's the last tip for you of the podcast. We are partnered up with a company called Higher Dose, higherdose.com. They are the leader in workout recovery products, infrared technology, LED light masks, neck enhancers, and other products such as PEMF mats and sauna blankets. If you have not gotten on the workout recovery train yet, your time and your stop is now. You got to get these products in there before these workout recovery and spas end up saturating your market. Having your members walk out of the club and going into one of their locations for $200 per month where they're paying $39 to you. Let's become an expert in workout recovery if we are already an authority in workouts. Higher Dose, check it out. There's a wholesale code, and we look forward to helping you augment your products and services to meet the demands of your members. And hey, let's get people happy, healthy, and sweating, and the recovery should be just as good as the workout.
And then just from you running this business, just kind of getting to your head as an entrepreneur, I'm sure given what you do, you kind of walk around, like I mentioned at the football game, you know, I see things that like I'm at the, to get on the New York subway, they always say, if you see something, say something. Which is basically like what I do with everything. So from a standpoint of like you seeing issues or you walk into a retail operation or you walk into a quick serve restaurant, you say, oh my God, like these people are doing things that are obviously physically unsustainable and they're going to get hurt. How do you kind of either turn that into a pitch or how do you kind of, you know, how do you figure out what clients you want to take on or what areas you want to go into? Because it seems like there's a lot of opportunity, but there's only a certain amount of return on time.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with that. And yes, you are exactly right. I walk into any retail organization and say a grocery store, and I want to look down and make sure that the person standing at the checkout counter has a pressure relief mat and all those things. I have, you know, an educated eye on those things. So I always say a lot of change can come from the people doing the job itself. And so to make a friendly suggestion and is one thing, you know, now if we're brought in, if people want our opinion and the management team wants our opinion, we certainly give it. We do walkabouts every year with any of our cast clients or clients that haven't used us in a while or don't use us on a reoccurring basis. We do a walkabout with their companies every year just for them to get our perspective and thoughts on the types of work that they're doing and to make just some general suggestions that would be helpful for their entire team. Whether it's installing a lot of companies shiver still at the thought of getting their employees warmed up for work, just because it's been so inconsistently designed. So, but we think it's really important. Just those athletes on the field, I promise you, they were warming up for hours before the game. And we say, hey, you showed up to work. All right, start working.
So in our book, we also, you know, tout that, you know, there's no reason why people in a factory can't be wearing jerseys, you know, with their name on the back and with numbers to make them feel like, hey, this is your playing field and I'm going to treat you like an athlete and I expect you to be a top performance or, you know, I got to sub you out or, you know, it's much easier to do it that way. And then we tell the health club operators that if somebody leaves or somebody gets fired, like they have to give their jersey back, which no athlete ever wants to give their jersey back.
Yeah, Yeah. We have lots of savvy clients who will do, whatever your job or your area is, you have a different vest or, you know, your safety vest is a different color of neon. So I love the idea of having names on shirts. It's helpful too.
So in closing here, we'll put all the show notes up on how to reach out to you. And the services you have, but any quotes that you live by or anything that, you know, is it Delaney, ism?
My team says it's a Delaneyism when I bust out with something more than a couple of times, but mine, and it's cliche. Yeah. It's cliche. But nobody cares what you know until they know how much you care. And I think healthcare providers especially need to be mindful of that we're caring for people. And so to show that we care is important. Leaders and companies demonstrating their care before they deliver advice or anything else is really important. So that's something I try to live by, is that I think a lot of highly educated people sit on their education as their crutch. And I'd rather sit on who I care about and why I care about them and live in that world, because that fills me up more than what I know.
Awesome. All right. Well, please use the term HALO, Health, Active Lifestyle, Outdoors. You've now been anointed as our industrial athlete representation. There you go. Pop the HALO up there. For those who can't see, she's got a little glow. And look forward to meeting you in person. Keep doing what you're doing. I feel like there's so many opportunities to just help people live healthier lives, and they sometimes just don't speak up and say, hey, this is bothering me, or is there a process that I can change? And then let me go actually work out to optimize my line job. And that might be going and doing squats, like you said,
Or just treating your job like the workout. We have plenty of jobs that are physical enough that people do not, if they're like, yeah, I went to the gym for 2 hours. And I'm always like, well, are you training for something specific, like bodybuilding? They're like, no, I just get a workout. I'm like, well, what if you, instead of lifting that box so crappily, why don't you just actually lift it right and you get one more rep? I totally agree. And I appreciate what you all are doing. Activity is a part of our wealth span and lifespan. And if we can ingrain that back into our living, our society, I think we're going to be way better off. We're going to be mentally more healthy, emotionally more healthy, and physically more healthy.
Yeah, awesome. I look forward to meeting you in person. Thanks for doing what you're doing.